message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
God bless us all in Jesus' name. Tonight, I want to appreciate God for this privilege. And I'm not taking this for granted. God bless you, sir, for this opportunity. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking on showers of blessing via grace. Showers of blessings via grace. I don't believe that people have to struggle in life to make it. I don't believe in that theory that says for every time you achieve something in life, you have to struggle all through. I'm not in that school of thought, and I know every one of us here, everything called struggle is over tonight in the name of Jesus. Everything called struggle is over tonight in the name of Jesus. Grace is the cure to every disgrace. Grace is the cure to every suffering in life. Grace is, what is grace in itself? You know, G is God's riches, our riches. God's riches at a Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. What do I mean by that? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 explains that definition further. God's riches at Christ's expense. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes," that's for you and I, "he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." In other words, it says it all there. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord." What is grace there? It says that he was rich. Yet for your sake, you and I, he became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ has paid the price. He brought grace for us. For you and I tonight, access for grace is released in the name of Jesus. And other definitions of grace we have. Grace is the invisible personality of God. It's the invisible personality of God that makes life meaningful. It is the invisible personality of God that makes life meaningful. Grace is God's help and assistance. When God steps into the life of a man, grace is God's help and assistance. Grace is the same as unmerited favor. Grace is favor, something you don't deserve. You work from morning to night. The agreement is that you'll be paid 5,000 naira. And your employer comes and gives you 50,000 naira. The remaining 45, you don't merit it. Grace is unmerited favor. Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't deserve that grace. Yet, God, that grace is what? Unmerited favor. Another definition is grace is that divine advantage, is leverage, something that keeps you at an advantage, something that keeps you at an edge. That's grace. What makes you have you ever been to a scenario whereby, or maybe an interview or something, that everybody just has the same qualification all through, everybody, but they just have to pick somebody? That person that is going to be picked is not picked because he's less qualified or he's more qualified than the others. Grace just found that person. Grace will find you tonight in the name of Jesus. When grace is absent in a man's life, there's a lot of disgrace. There's a lot of snail-like progress. There's a lot of walking like an elephant and eating like an ant. Walking so much and then you have little or nothing to show for it. In such a person's life, there is lack of grace. I've seen a woman that having aborted, I think over more than 6 times, she got married, bam. The first stuff, she was pregnant. Sometimes you'll be wondering, somebody that has kept herself as a virgin, yet for many, many years, you just don't know why. Somehow, there are some things that you just can't explain. Some people have been privileged more than others. In the book of Romans, you can read. It's not for us to digest tonight, but when studying the book of Romans, you know, he says, that the apostle tries to ask a question. Is God partial? God is not partial. He is a very just God. But there is something called grace. And that grace is placing you at an advantage over others. What qualifies? God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. That is grace. God does not call the qualified. He didn't call you because he feels you are fit for the job. No. He qualifies you because he feels, you know, it is grace that colors you. Hallelujah. He qualifies the called. He called you, then polishes you up. There was this, one of these apostles of Jesus, I think it was either Peter or so. He didn't know how to speak English. He didn't know. He wasn't learned. That was what the Bible says. The Bible says they were not learned. But having walked with grace himself, Jesus, having walked with Jesus, people, they said, I perceive that you have walked with the master. You have walked. How did they perceive? You can't walk with grace and not be engraced. You can't walk with grace and not be engraced. Quickly, I'm going to be showing us a few benefits of grace. Number one, moving of mountains. Or moving of mountains / new opportunities. What are the benefits of grace? Oh, if I enjoy grace, what do I do? What are the benefits? What do I stand to gain? Number one, moving of mountains. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Zechariah 4, 6 to 7. And then, verse 6, Zechariah 4, 6 to 7. Media. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Alright? Saying, not by might. Somebody say, not by might. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, it is not your might. It is not your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The next verse, please. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? No matter how big a challenge may be, no matter how mighty, it is not solvable by your power or by your might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. No matter how big that mountain may be, the Bible says, who art thou? They haven't burned that mountain yet. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a what? Thou shalt become a what? And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Something moves the mountain. When you cry grace unto the mountain, it becomes a plain. Every huge problem, every huge challenge, no matter how huge the challenge may be, when you are a man or woman of grace, that mountain becomes a plain. Tonight, everything that looks like a mountain in your life, grace, the God of grace upon this mountain will visit you. I say the God of grace upon this mountain will visit you. Number two, benefits of grace, help and assistance. Grace brings help and assistance. Romans chapter 9, verse 16. The Bible says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of the Lord that what showeth mercy. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of the Lord that showeth mercy. Trying, you know, let me copy my pastor. In my place, Kirakita is not wealth. It's not Ola. It's not wealth. Kirakita is not wealth. Doing like servants is not. Permit me, I'm not. I'm still trying to tap into that grace. Praise the Lord. Kirakita is not wealth, right? But being heavy, like. Cash Kirakita or dollar. Cash a beer road down, coco. Ibuku Lua. Ni munila. For those that don't understand English, apologies. When senior pastor comes up, he will translate it for you. I do have that grace. Praise the Lord. That's an example of grace, you know. He did, you know, he translated it with ease. I've tried and tried for Wole. Praise the Lord. God will give us grace tonight. In the name of Jesus. You know, walking, I've seen people walk like an elephant and eat. Walking does not guarantee assistance. Human connections does not guarantee assistance. I remember when I was looking for admission, one of my uncles that promised to help said, myself and Iluyomade then was the registrar of OAU. Say, we went to school together. I will give your CV, your papers to her, and they will do it. I waited the first list, second list, and then perhaps Iluyomade went to sleep. I don't know. Your help must not be from man. Help and assistance. Many people tie their help to man. You don't need to run after man when you are a man of grace. When you are a man of grace, help will locate you. Grace will locate, assistance will locate you. For you tonight, grace will locate you. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9b, it says, for by strength shall no man prevail. For by strength shall no man prevail. You can't prevail by strength. It's not by power. It's not by our strength. Blessings come from God. If you must be blessed, you must stay with God, who is the giver of grace. A man of grace is not tied to an earthly person. A man of grace is tied to God. A man of grace is not tied to an earthly person. That was why somebody like Daniel could reign. Bible scholars said he reigned for about 71 years. About four kings came and went away. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, Cyrus, all of them came and went. If his help, if his appointment was in man, as one is dying, Daniel, that would have been the end of Daniel's tenure. But because his help came from God, his relevance was not with man, it was with God. He reigned over, even with those kings had gone. Another king would have said, look, advisor, that was your time in those days. What you are saying is not relevant now. But when you are tied with the God of grace himself, he gives you assistance in a timeless way. He makes it timeless. Help as you are needing it. For this year, from today, help from now, the Lord will give to you in the name of Jesus. Timeless help. Timeless help means help that is not time bound. That is not limited to a particular time alone. You get help in January and then February. No. Every time, help will locate you. I said every time, help will locate you. You can't be a man of grace and lack help. You can't be a man of grace and lack help and assistance. No. If you mention anyone in the Bible who enjoyed help, they were men of grace. You cannot separate, that is genuine help or true help. They were men of grace. There was a man called Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth got help. If you know, for another day, not for today, but let me just give a little about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a prince, the son of Saul. So he was a prince. But Mephibosheth referred to himself as a dead dog when he was sent for. Grace found him. He was crippled. He had nothing to write home about. Nothing. He was abandoned, forgotten, rejected, dejected. But help found him. Grace found him. And he came to eat on the table of the king. David was a man that enjoyed help. Help and assistance. Why? Because he was a man of grace. Anybody who enjoys help in the Bible, we're all men of grace. You can't enjoy help if you lack grace. Esther enjoyed help. You know something? Esther found grace. It was because Esther enjoyed grace that she found help. She enjoyed grace so much that Mordecai helped her. Her kind of help was timeless. It wasn't bound to just one man. Mordecai helped her. She got to the palace. Alright? When she got to the palace, if you read in that book of Esther, virgins were sampled. They had the same qualification. The king just loved her above others. That means the king loved the others too. But loving above, that above is what grace. That is help. The king, the person that usually keeps the maidens, just loved Esther. She found grace. In other words, Esther found grace, got help with Mordecai, got help when she got inside the palace. Everywhere she went to, she got help. Why? Because she was a woman that enjoyed grace. Grace makes you get help on a timeless basis. Anywhere you go to, you get help. Anywhere you go to, you get help. If you lack grace, if you travel from here to America, you will still not enjoy help. If you travel from here to London, Congo Chacha might not be nice, but everybody likes to go to US, UK. Go there. If you lack grace, you even the poor will call you poor. But a man that enjoys grace, if he finds himself in Cotonou, he will prosper. He will enjoy help. Why? Because our help cometh from the Lord. And God is the giver of grace. Tell your neighbor, I will enjoy help. May you enjoy help this year. Today, may you enjoy God's help in the name of Jesus. God's help and assistance. You know, learn this year, God will open your eyes that you'll be able to differentiate between the help of man and the help of God. Look at a man called David. David enjoyed so much help from God that when Saul offered to help him, he knew this was not help from God. And he went back immediately. Saul offered to give him helmets and armor. And then, don't worry, you fight Goliath in this raiment. If it was so easy to fight Goliath, why didn't he put that on all his people? But he kept it on him. The man couldn't walk. Help of man is limited. Help of man limits. But he removed it and put his trust in God because his help is from God. This night, God will show himself strong in your life. This night, help will come for you from God in the name of Jesus. Number three benefit of grace is favor. In Genesis chapter 39 verse 4, the Bible says Joseph found grace. He found grace. He found grace in his sight, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Joseph was a man of so much grace. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Finding favor is not just finding favor with friends alone. When you are a man of grace, the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, even with your enemies, you will find favor. A typical example is the children of Israelites. These people, the Egyptians were cruel to them, so cruel that they killed their sons. Apart from that, they put them into hard labor, all manner of cruel things. But yet, in one night, because God visited the children of Israel, favor found, grace found them, and they received favor before the Egyptians. The Egyptians that were harsh to them in the morning, in the evening, all of a sudden, began to favor them. God said, ask for anything. And the Bible says they stripped them off. They stripped them off. You know, if you read your Bible well, the last plague that plagued the children of, that plagued the Egyptians, was the killing of the firstborns. So I'm sure they will have still been mourning. They're either in one house, maybe a father, a mother, or a child, they will have been mourning. So it wasn't the right time to ask for anything from them. But yet, in their horrible state, in their mournful state, that they were their enemies, God still caused them to enjoy favor. This year, where you least expect, the Lord will favor you. This year, help will come from you from every nook and cranny in the name of Jesus. People that think that do you evil, they will push you to your help. They will push you to your destiny in the name of Jesus. God is about to turn the hearts of people to favor you from tonight in the name of Jesus. You know, I said earlier that in Esther chapter 2 verse 17, Esther found favor as well. She got favor even in the palace. That grace caused her to enjoy favor. I looked at that story of Esther well, and I found out that there were so many qualifications. There were so many virgins as well, but Esther was preferred. I'm sure an ugly person won't visit the king's palace. They must have been all beautiful. They were all worked on before they were presented to the king. I'm sure their skin must have been glowing, smelling nice, looking very, very radiant, the best hair in town. the best outfit they could. So they were all equally qualified. But something made Esther above them. That is why, you know, that place maybe to know that getting married, sometimes many people place having marital spouses to beauty. Oh, I'm a pretty lady. They will definitely, I'll get a good husband. You are wrong. It is favor. When I have, if you lack grace, if a woman lacks grace, that woman can stay without having a husband. But that will not be your portion for those that are single in the name of Jesus. Don't depend on your beauty. Some men depend on their money. Money will not buy you a wife. Bible says a prudent wife, a good wife, is from the Lord. Money will not buy you a wife. Beauty will not get you a husband. It is what? Favor. You know, I took yesterday, was yesterday, was that yesterday or 2 days ago? I was telling, but I told my husband last night that, do you remember my hairdresser in my former church? He said, she just got married, though. And she, you know, it got me thinking. This is a woman of, when I was still in that church, she was 50. So I tried to quickly calculate the time. Now she's 61. Now. And you need to see, she was my hairdresser, and you need to see her in her lovely, a 61-year-old woman. You know, someone told her and said, see, you can't get a husband in this kind of church. It's a youth church. You can't get a husband there. But you know what? Grace found her. She got a husband. And it is not a take and go and sit down husband by Jensen. You know, it's not that kind of husband. Very huge, hunk looking, very lovely looking young man. Not young man. He's also like her, but you know. But honestly, he's a handsome guy. Honestly. And I was like, this man would have been older than her, left the young people in the so-called youth church to go and propose. This woman, I saw the engagement picture, so she did engagement, she did wedding. She said, ha, it's just this Saturday. Honestly, I look and I said, you know, honestly, look, this thing is not to marry. See, in life, many people trivialize things. To get married, we feel it's, once you are beautiful enough, it doesn't work that way. Favor. Esther landed with, the crown was placed on her head because she was favored. Others were also qualified. But for you, whatever you are trusting God for, tonight, grace to allow you receive it, God will give to you. Do you know, even in job opportunities as well, when you look for a job, sometimes you feel, people that are working in this organization are much more qualified than them. But yet, I have seen first class don't have jobs yet. I have seen PhD self still looking for. It is the God of grace that favors people above others. When you get to a level in life that God favors you to be as if, are you the only one? That will be your case in the name of Jesus. That will be your case in the name of Jesus. Number 4, protection. No. Protection. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 13, we're made to understand that God planned to kill the entire people because God felt the whole world was, they were all wicked. God wanted to destroy them and kill them. But the Bible says Noah found grace. Grace made Noah and his family to be protected. They would have been wiped off. They will have been destroyed. But Noah did what? Found grace. What took the life of others this year would not take your life. When you are a man of grace, you are unkillable. When you are a man of grace, you cannot be destroyed. Why? Because grace found Noah and Noah was protected. Grace will find you. This year, I'm not a prophet of doom. Many millions will die. But because you carry grace, what will kill others or what has killed them will not take you. What has limited others will not limit you. What has made others to be crippled in life will not make you crippled. Why? Because of the grace you carry. And tonight, more grace will be released for you in the name of Jesus. You know, grace is so awesome that it protects. Look at Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. She was in Jericho as well. This spies were sent to destroy the entire Jericho, but something preserved her. She got in contact with the God of grace, and Rahab was the only person and her people we were the only people that were there, were protected from the destruction that happened in Jericho. I pray tonight that grace will protect you. The God of grace will preserve you this year in the name of Jesus. Number five, grace, benefits of grace is lifting. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God. Somebody say grace. I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. The grace of God tonight upon you will not be in vain. This grace will not be in vain. We can read for that. You know, Apostle Paul, he was not there with Christ Jesus himself. When Jesus was raising the dead, preaching the gospel, doing all that, he was not there. Well, rather, after the death of Jesus, Paul came up. Then he was Saul. He did what? He was a murderer. He was a kingpin of those that persecuted the Christians. But grace found Paul. This was a man that did not walk with the grace himself initially. But when grace found Paul, Apostle Paul, just a contact, well, what happened to him? He had a lifting so mighty that he wrote two thirds of the entire New Testament and left the remaining for the 11 apostles to share. He wrote two thirds of the New Testament and left the remaining for them to share. Why? Grace lifted him from the so-called murderer that he was and brought him ahead of those that were even with Christ himself. Brethren, no matter how your situation may look like now, if you desire that great blessing this year, grace is available to lift you. And I pray tonight that that grace will lift you in the name of Jesus. Grace is what brings a man from the dust, shakes him off, paints him, colors him, and makes him... How will you define somebody like Rahab? A high-class prostitute. Excuse me, that profession, is that a profession? That so-called duty, I can't even call it a profession. That so-called duty is not dignifying. She can't go outside and tell everybody, what do you do for a living? I'm a prostitute. No, it's so dignifying. Do you know how many men will have come to pass the night, slap her, draw virtue? So many, you know... But yet, I'm sure if it were in modern day Christianity, to even go to that kind of a woman's place to preach is can be even demeaning. Say, you are coming out from Sister Rahab's house. You must be a visitor. Because to preach to a high class prostitute, it takes grace. Praise the Lord. What am I saying? But grace found this woman and brought her from the so called prostitute she was. Brought her to the front. This woman married an Israelite. If you read the story, married an Israelite, gave birth to, I think, Boaz, Jesse, then from Jesse, Obed. That was the line where David and Jesus came from. From a prostitute, from a lineage of a prostitute, she was put into the lineage. Now, the lineage of Jesus, there's no how you will not count Sister Rahab Sister Rahab with it. You must count it. Grace will find you tonight. Grace will lift you up beyond where you can imagine in the name of Jesus. Grace makes you experience opportunities others haven't experienced before. Grace puts you at an advantage that people will just keep shouting. Strange opportunities that will make men marvel will visit you tonight in the name of Jesus. You know, if all you ever get in life is all you ever spend, you lack grace. If all perhaps your salary is 10,000 and all you spend in that month is just that 10,000, you lack grace. You know why I'm saying that you lack grace? Because a man of grace is not limited by his own resources alone. He's a magnet of blessings himself. Why do I say that? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 to 9 tells me something. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 to 9. Quickly, media, please. Bible says, let's read together. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee. That's where I'm going to stop for now. The Lord thy God bringeth thee. He didn't say the Lord thy God payeth thee. It's not paying. He brings you. For the Lord thy God, let's move further. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Next verse. A land of wheat and barley and vine and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. That's the kind of land you and I will enter in this year. That's the kind of land you and I will enter in this year. When the children of Israel found grace with God, God brought them in. For the Lord bringeth thee. You are not permitted to spend only what you earn alone. I'm not telling you to go and steal. But when you are a man that carries grace, the Lord will bring you into a good land. It's part of the bargain of grace. For the Lord bringeth thee. Tonight, the Lord will bring thee into a good land. The Lord will bring you into a good land. That amen is not quality enough. The Lord will bring me into a good land. Personalize it. The Lord will bring me, Oluwa Folakemi Kuforiji, into a good land. In the name of Jesus. This year, the Lord will bring you, envelope you with grace in the name of Jesus. Quickly, what are the secrets of grace? I've told us the benefits of grace, but something propels this grace. Number one secret of grace is salvation. Somebody say salvation. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Somebody say bring it. Grace comes with a package. And that is what? Salvation. Grace brings, get salvation. Grace cannot be enjoyed without what? Salvation. A man that is not saved cannot enjoy grace. No, 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 no. Grace is attached to salvation. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how bad the situation may be. When you yield to God, the God of grace, He makes grace available for you. He makes grace. You know, salvation is not just the confession with your mouth. Romans 10:10. For it is what? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the what? Mouth, confession is made to salvation. Nowadays, I find people that will tell you, I'm saved. You are saved. Last night, you still slept in a man's house that is not your husband. You claim to be saved. You are still doctoring figures. You claim to be saved. You are still lying. You claim to be saved. You are watching pornography. You claim to be saved. You are still doing all manner of things that do not speak or that is not a package of salvation. A man, you know, God knows those who are truly his. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from every unrighteousness. Nowadays, we are in a whereby people just polish Christianity. I'm a born again Christian, yes. But the truth of the matter is, if you must enjoy grace, you truly are the one that can determine it. Are you genuinely saved? Ask your neighbor. Are you genuinely saved? If no, tonight is the best night that you can get that salvation. I'm not talking about two-time Christianity. Genuinely saved from the depth of your heart. Salvation comes with that package. Once you are genuinely saved, grace automatically will flow in that heart. I pray for you tonight, grace will flow into your life in the name of Jesus. Grace will flow in the name of Jesus. That leads me to number two. Number two is uprightness. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and he will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that do what? Walk uprightly. God is the what? Grace and glory. Gives grace and glory. That grace can be gotten from what? If you are walking uprightly. Somebody say uprightly. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 say, blessed is the man that does what? That walketh not in the path of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Maintaining integrity is key in maintaining grace. If you are a man that will enjoy grace, integrity must be maintained. And you know, grace is something that We have levels of grace. Grace can be grown. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace. In other words, grace is in levels. Grace is in levels. The more upright you are, the more you what? You tap into grace. The more you are, the more, you know, I don't want us to jump, okay? Number three, humility. Number three, secret of grace is humility. God gives more grace to those who are humble. James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. Let's read together. But he giveth more. Or did he just give ordinary grace? Did he give less grace? He giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the what? Humble. Anyone who is humble enjoys more grace. Anyone who is humble enjoys more grace. Anyone that you see that is a man of great grace is always a man of greater humility. The more grace they attain, the what? The more humble they become. The more grace they attain, the more humble. Stay humble and enjoy more grace. Stay humble and enjoy more grace. Humility is very essential. Many Christians are not humble. Humility starts from the heart. The more humble you become, the more grace you attain. Number four, a life of prayer and fasting. A life of prayer and fasting. Number four, secrets of grace is what? A life of prayer and fasting. I was trying to say earlier that I was studying the book of Genesis and Deuteronomy. And, you know, I found out that in two men of God's life, there were some similar situations, but their results were different. And that is Noah and Moses. I was looking at two of them when I was studying, and I found out that God gave Noah an opportunity, not opportunity per se, but, you know, God told him in Genesis chapter 6 or so, he said, these people are too wicked. I will destroy them, and I will make of thee another set of people, all right? And Noah did not object. He probably nodded, you know, and that was it. But look, take a good look at Moses. The same thing was presented to Moses. The Bible says this man, Moses, was the meekest in all the earth, face of the earth. This man was presented, God said, God was so furious with the children of Israel and said, look, I'm going to destroy them. And then he was going to do that already. He was already killing them in the camp. But Moses fell straight flat down, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was a man given to what? Fasting and prayer. And I found out that I think Moses enjoyed, the Bible did not record Noah to have seen God face to face. But I believe for a man like Moses, he saw God face to face. The make of God. He was the only man that ever saw God and lived. His closeness with God was so much that, you know, Pastor Moshe Bito taught us in this workers' training, stages of loyalty, the independence stage. God fought for Moses so much that his own siblings were at independent stage of disloyalty. You know, they were still talking within themselves. They were just discussing it. They haven't rebelled yet. Independent, just the peripheral stage. God went on his behalf and punished Miriam immediately. God defended Moses so much because he was a man that enjoyed so much grace from God. And one of the secrets of that grace, because I looked at Noah, Noah too was a man of grace. Bible said, but Noah found grace. But I tried to look at the differences. This man was given to what? Prayers and fastings. You know, if you read your Bible, I think in Deuteronomy, he just came down from the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights. He brought the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And when he found out that Aaron had made these people sin, he broke the commandments. And then he went back. I expected him to go back to God and say, Lord, your people have sinned, we'll write another one. But this man, if you read the Bible says, he went again, face down, another 40 days and 40 nights of prayer. Read it, it's in your Bible. It's not fabricated. Some of us here, immediately after 12 days of empowerment, you say, the next 1 month, I am feasting. Far, Koji no see me. Just 12 days. Some people have forgotten. I'm sure some people have not even resumed from after that 12 days. But honestly, this year, if you must be a man that will move higher in grace, you must be a well-fasted person. I looked at Moses and I looked at Noah. This Moses was a man that was given to so much, because I was like, he just came back from 40 days. Why another 40 days? Night and day, nothing. 40, that makes it 80. In how many space of how many times? I don't know. But when I get to heaven, I would like to see how Brother Moses looks like. I'm sure he can be. He's going to be on a very lanky side, you know. The Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. But I pray for grace for us. Your grace to draw closer to God the Lord will give to us tonight in Jesus. Number 5, knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace is multiplied. I told us earlier that grace grows. If you want an increased level, this year you will enjoy grace like never before. Because we have been shown the secrets. You have enjoyed grace. You commanded grace last year. We thank God. But this year, the kind of grace I am envisaging in my heart for you is the type that when you show up in your offices, your colleagues will say, are you the only one? And then blessings like never before will be yours in the name of Jesus. Blessings like never before will be yours. You know, the grace is just about having, when somebody has 5 things and has 6 people to give them to, grace is sharing 3 to the first person. How can 5 itself go round? It can't go round the 6. But grace decides to give the first person 3. He gets number 2, give 1. Goes back to number 1 again and gives another 1. The third person will shout, is she the only one? That will be your case. In the name of Jesus. In whatever you do for a living, that will be your portion. Wealth of Gentiles will be located to you. Why? Because of the great grace you carry. The Bible says grace be multiplied to you by and not knowledge. Knowledge increases grace. Number 1 way of knowledge. The Bible says the knowledge of the Lord our Lord. The knowledge of the Lord. Number 1 way of increasing is what? Study. Study. Bury yourself in studying. Studying the word. The rate at which you studied before, we thank God. If you must increase, your grace must be multiplied. Tell yourself, my grace must be multiplied. I must enjoy grace more than before. I must enjoy grace more than last year. In the name of Jesus, that shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. Study, study, study the word. Get men of God's literature. Study. One way of tapping grace from such men of God is gather their books and study. If I must ask a sincere question now, some of us here, our pastor's book, Soaring on Eagle's Wings, how many of us have read it back to back? The book has blessed you so much. Have you sown it to somebody's life as a gift? You cannot grow until you keep studying. Knowledge, increase comes by our knowledge. The Bible says, and I, Daniel, understood by books. He understood by books. Wisdom, increase. Daniel was a man of grace. That grace came to him also via knowledge. Tonight, grace will be available for you. And lastly, diligence. Secret of grace is diligence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, we were made to understand whereby Apostle Paul said, he labored. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored. Somebody say labor. More abundantly. Fine, grace qualified him. But he knew something, he walked. Grace is not for the lazy. A lazy man is a grace waster. A lazy man is a grace waster. Just like fire extinguisher destroys fire. A lazy man is a grace extinguisher. He will only extinguish grace. He will destroy grace. Grace cannot be given to a lazy man. Grace doesn't locate lazy people. Diligence attracts grace. Diligence attracts grace. How do I know that? Look at men of grace in the Bible. David was a diligent man. So diligent with his father's cattle. The Bible said only one. The lion came, took one and ran. David did not leave the 99 and say, let me just maintain this so my father will understand. He went after that one, took it and destroyed that lion. That's diligence. Diligence, and that was why grace found him. Grace does not locate lazy people. You have to stand up to walk. Grace does not locate lazy people. Look at Joseph. He was a man, diligent. He was a servant in Potiphar's house. Yet he was diligent and grace found him. Grace will find you tonight in the name of Jesus. But you know something? You must be diligent. Diligent. Joseph did not say, it is my God's business. After all, he will not inherit it. I will not inherit the business. He has his own children. He didn't say that. What God, the little God committed to your hands, if you are not diligent in it, he cannot give you grace or not even talk of committing much more into your hands. That which you have been committed to, how diligent have you been in it? The Lord will help us more in Jesus' name. Apostle Paul said, grace found him too. The extent of your action determines the extent of your manifestation. The extent of your action determines the extent of your manifestation. I heard the story of a man who felt his present job was too small, or the salary there was just too small. And so the man was he got an aptitude test. He wrote Chevron aptitude test. And immediately he wrote the test, he felt so good with himself, he gave the former place of employment a resignation letter and went to sit down at home. He said, I just wrote Chevron aptitude test, so I will be called very soon. And he resigned from that former place of work. When I heard the story of that man, I said, he's not just a fool, but he's also a confirmed lazy man. Because what that little you are in, if you cannot do it so well, how do you expect to enjoy greater? Grace can only be attracted to you when you are a diligent person. I pray tonight that the God of grace will give us, will open to us tonight, great grace in the name of Jesus. It will give us grace that will be multiplied in our lives in the name of Jesus. With all of these points that we have mentioned tonight and the benefits of grace, quickly can we run through it? Benefits of grace, moving of mountains. Number two, it brings help and assistance. Number three, favor. Number four, protection. Number five, lifting. I want us to jump on our feet tonight and begin to appreciate the King of Kings. Let's begin to appreciate the Lord of Lords that all of these five secrets.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.